So please welcome Lori Allen.
I wanted to show you guys something that is very near and dear to me, that I have with me at all times in the car, in the seat next to me. This is my food bag. And you may think I'm making this up, but I'm not. This is exactly how I took it right from the seat. I would like to show you. I get very low blood sugar and very verklempt and cranky and usually want to flip somebody off in traffic. So I try to keep food so I don't get to that place. So let's see. Well, you guys hit the jackpot tonight. Jackpot. I have several different bars, soy bars and Luna bars, the crunchy ones. I've obviously gotten into that one, huh? And then thanks, I have some these little, what are they called? The easy open tuna cans. You can eat those right out of the... let's see. Oh, this is the best. It'll constipate the shit out of you, but you know, these, it's good protein, the almonds from Trader Joe's, the unsalted kind. And of course, I was telling Tabitha I kind of wait to get to this stuff because I always eat the really good stuff first, so I end up sort of driving to McDonald's anyway. let's see, this really helps the prunes, the jumbo natural, no potassium sorbate, all natural preservative prunes really try to counteract the almonds. And then some water, and then if I'm at a traffic light, I have. This is a great gift idea, by the way, for the holidays, for ladies, men, whatever, and if you'd like to read that and pass it on if I get boring. Okay, what else? Oh, boys, got some water, got some CDs, got some perfume that made my poor friend Jonna a little nauseous. and then makeup, this is what I call a face in a case. You know, you never know when you need to meet a cute boy or, you know, pull over and have a meeting or a snack, and so... That. Then there we go. So thank you, Tausa. You made them all nice and neat. Wow, thanks. So I just wanted to share that with you. I just came back from visiting my sister in Nashville, Tennessee. Don't ask me how she got there. Nice half-Jewish girl. I'm not really sure. Anyway, so I went there, and it was very disturbing, actually, because she owns a scale. And as if the flight was nerve-wracking enough, you know, the first time I had flown and whatnot. If anybody needs a snack, seriously, just give a shout out. So I was very sort of upset that I saw what I saw on the scale. And I've never owned a scale, and I've lied so long about my height and weight that I really didn't know how much I weighed. Now I do. And that's upsetting. So after about maybe a five-day trip or so, I had gained like 6 pounds. PMS, you know, bloat, 2 pounds, 3 pounds, okay. But 5, 6, not good. Not good at all. The main reason I think that this happened was that my mom was visiting there, my mom and my stepdad. And my mom and my stepdad are the Goyim half. My mom is Southern Baptist, and they eat and drink and eat and drink and drink and drink and eat and drink like there's no tomorrow. And they cook. They love to cook, and she has this way of cooking in such a great way. I think Tom was saying that is this ease that I just don't have. It's sort of like writing with my other hand, like I can't do that. And so the morning that I arrived, actually, you know, I'm getting jumped on by my nephew, Auntie Laura, get up, get up, get up, get up. And I wake up, and my mom's like, sweetheart, I'm going to the grocery store. What would you like for dinner? And I said, Mom, what time is it? And she said, it's like 6:45. And I thought, what is it that once you become a mother, you suddenly have to ask, what is it, the day before, like the first thing is sunrise. What are we having for dinner? To the whole town. So I was like, Mom, I don't know. I'm like holding my boarding pass still. I just, you know. So she comes back and she has this great meal. She's like, oh, just give me 5 minutes or so. I said, so what are we having? And it was apricot glazed crushed gingered pork tenderloin with Sister Schubert's yeast whole wheat kneading monostat rolls or something, I don't know, yeast rolls or something, and fresh green beans with slivered almonds, and she just like whipped it up just like that, and I thought, wow, that's like amazing. I mean, my sister has those good cook genes. I clearly do not, but a very good atmosphere genes. So like I can light all, you know, 50 of my overpriced candles and put on like, you know, the best of Enya, and whip out my 3-ring binder of takeout menus and very sexy. Here, honey, what do you want? Woo! Anyway, so it's funny because my stepfather, Duff, I mean, I hated him when I was younger just because I could. I was like, you're an asshole. My mom and stepdad met when I was in like seventh grade. And he was just like an asshole, and I hated him because I could. So that was that. And then we, too, sort of had some hamburger helper and green beans and sort of a nice meat patty, as my mom still calls them. She can't say hamburger. It's a meat patty. So we had meat patties a lot with a side of veggies. And then my stepdad, Duff, who I was like, love you! And he came to live with us. And he suddenly was like, we need to put some meat on those girls. You know, we got to get them all, you know, built up and everything. So he would make like these mashed potatoes with like quarts of lard and just all this like amazing food. And we were like, I was like, I like him, Mom. You can marry him. I thought he was like fabulous after that, you know. There is a picture in my sister's yearbook and my yearbook. We both gained about 10, 20 pounds that year that they first met. And our whole metabolism changed, you know. And it's never really been the same since. My sister actually had just had her second child, my little niece Nina. Is anybody getting hungry? Okay, so just had my little niece Nina and my brother-in-law Chris is like this real guy's from Cleveland. He's like got a metabolism like he eats it, he's on his way. I don't know what he's doing in there, but I have a feeling it's just sort of the natural thing. But my God, that metabolism is just to be, you know, I'd like to pay for that. And so anyway, so he's always bringing home like rolls and rolls of the cookie dough and Krispy Kreme and all this stuff. And my sister, who was very round now, is like, I heard them, they were seriously covered like by the dishwasher, I mean the washer dryer, and she was like, why do you bring this shit home? And he's like, you can't just have like a donut. She's like, no, I can't, I cannot just have one donut. Like, leave them alone. All quiet. And so there I am like, shoveling it in. I sat there, the one image I have of me right before I left PMSing, sorry, and everyone knows them all, I'm a cycle. In the washer and dryer, I was like, no, that's my period, it doesn't matter, I'm going to be getting my period, it doesn't matter. I must have had like inhaled like 11 of these little things. I was like, I don't know what happened, I am. So we're challenged that way. But what else was I going to say about this meal that we had? Well, it's not really so much the meal, so much as the idea that when we were, where my mom was actually looking through the cookbook and she was showing me, dear, you can cook, and she was showing me things, and I was like, nah, no, I just can't do it. So this would be her food guide pyramid, because we came across, you know, one of those from like the 50s that says how many servings of this you should have and how many of this. So this really is my mom and stepdad. I don't know if you can see this. This is really their pyramid. You know, you're supposed to have like 8 to 10 servings, let's say, at the bottom here of any bread and grains and alcohol. So they really have like 15 to 20 of alcohol. And then up here, the vegetables and fruits, I'd say that's supposed to be somewhere between like 3 and 5. Over here in the fruits, we have martini olives and lemon and lime wedges. Then over here in the vegetables, we have martini olives, I guess I got that one confused, and some spinach dip. And then for 2 to 3 servings or so for the dairy, cheese. A chunk of cheese by itself or any cheese that can be melted for fondue, because my mom just got 3 new fondue sets. And then in meat, just the whole animal. And then used sparingly, the chart that they actually tell you in the cookbook in this category is oil, fat, or butter. In this case, it would be an apple. So, my mom has this thing about leftovers. I'm not quite sure what her, the hell this came from, the mother depression era thing. I don't know. But she has this thing. She was cleaning out my sister's fridge, and she said, oh, honey, well, why don't we just have this broccoli casserole for lunch? This is it. We've been worried about saving money. We can just have this. And my sister said, oh, God, Mom, throw that out. Oh, thank you. That's, like, been in the back. It's like, no, that's like cold cuts from like last week or something, and that's just gross. And she said, well, excuse me, I'm so sorry that this isn't good enough for you. You wanted to save money. I'm just trying to help. And, you know, I mean, I served you girls lots of leftovers, and it never killed you. And my sister and I were like, yeah, Mom, if you threw some of that leftover shit out, we wouldn't have so much leftover right here. I, too, like Tom and was it Andy was saying, I had a timer. My mother put a timer in front of me when I was eating, and she'd give me, you know, till like, what, 11 p.m. or something to see if I had finished, and now she wonders why I'm still sort of always trying to make the clean plate club, and that I have issues with food. But my, I'm getting hungry. My dad, who's Jewish, and stepmother, who's also Jewish, she's sort of half Jap, half hippie. It's kind of a strange combo. Sort of like sequined, you know, like bedazzled jean thing. Anyway, this would be their, guy, Kermit. And they also have a similar problem with leftovers. I'm not quite sure where that comes from either. Every time we visit, we're like, let's go clean out their thing. This is disgusting. She'll have yogurt in there. My stepmother, Joy, literally the last time we went, Joy, you got like yogurt in here. It's like from 1992. And she's like, yogurt. Oh, I like yogurt. I forgot, you know, I like yogurt. Put yogurt in there. Just keep it in there. It'll remind me to put it on the list. I like yogurt. Just keep it in there. And the thing that also makes me laugh, just an incidental, the thought of Jews having a three-tiered pie plate. Now, Scott, Greg, Jews don't eat pie. Cake maybe, but pie, no. No, not on tears. She's very proud of it. She puts like her keys on and stuff like that. They don't ever use it. She loves talking about that. They're so proud of this fucking pie plate, and you know, it just sits there. What else was I going to tell you about my dad? Oh, I just, don't you think that Jews just have a natural genetic disposition to overeating, period. It doesn't matter what it is. It's like, ah! And then constantly after that, you sit around and talk about what ailments you think you might be having. This cancer is growing. It's horrible, and everyone's got to go to the doctor, and suddenly this thing just got really shorter. I don't know what happened. Okay, so then, so my mom thinks it's really cool that she goes both ways when it comes to food. She said to me, you know, after all, I was married to your father, and we went to this deli called Nashville when I was there in Nashville. It's a great deli. It's an awesome deli, right? And my mother was like, well, that's sad, and that piece of fish will give you gas. That piece always has the bones. That piece is slippery. She knows all of her, you know, her Jew food, and she said, after all, girls, I'm Southern Baptist, you know, but I am Jewish by injection. Okay, Mom, I have no appetite now. I'm going to throw up. Thanks. Thanks, Mom. But I just think that, like, you know, going home, no matter what side of the family it is that I'm visiting, food somehow is like the foundation of every family experience. There's so many like memories. I mean, doesn't everything sort of anchor itself around like the meals you have together? And like there's this one time, and I'm going to bring it on down now. I'm going to get back, children. No. My sister had her first baby. Look at my first baby. He's mine. Her first baby. And she was in the hospital because she had a C-section. And Mom and I were at the house, and we were preparing the house for the little baby Isaac's arrival, little Prince Isaac. And my mom wasn't very happy that we used Elliot. My dad's name is his middle name. She wasn't very happy about that. But anyway, so it was just the two of us having our last grown-up, adult, quiet, childless meal in this house. And so we had like six bottles of wine and a steak. And all of a sudden, my mom started to get really weepy, and she started to cry. And I was like, Mom, what's the matter? I said, are you excited? You know, you're a grandma for the first time? She, like a little kid, she nodded. And I said, what else is going on with you? And she said, I have to see your father tomorrow. I was like, oh, my God. She was so moved by this man, my father, that she would have to see him the next day. Because he was coming to see how Lisa was and the new baby. And she said, and I have to cook for your father for the first time in 30-something years. I have to cook for your father. What am I supposed to do? And you may be thinking, why would this be such a weird, besides the obvious, situation? My father had just been diagnosed with cancer and had very recently strictly sort of gone macrobiotic pretty quickly. And clearly she's a chip beef, you know, over some kind of horrible bread kind of, you know, eater, and he's sort of like, you know, salmon with a lemon wedge kind of guy. So she wept. We fell asleep. We woke up hungover and excited to have the baby come home. And the best picture I have is my stepmother and my mother wearing matching aprons in my sister's kitchen making I forget what it was, like salmon or shrimp or something with some feta cheese, and they're both sort of smiling like, the food that my father could eat, that my stepfather, we sort of camouflaged, you know, the salmon so that he could think it had some kind of booze or some kind of sour cream on it or something. But, so anyway, so that, I just think that the family snapshot, so to speak, is just something that's very, a much based, it's just, it's always based around food. And you always take your original position, you know, like at your family table when you go home. I know when I was just home, I suddenly was like, you know, there's my bossy stepfather, then my mother who knows everything, and I'm like the sensitive, like I'm always crying and sort of defending everyone and everything. And you should, everybody should be wearing the, just like the messed up, like, yeah. And so my stepfather's like, Jesus Christ, are you taking your medication, huh? I mean, have you been eating well? Have you been eating? And I thought to myself, do I look like I've missed a meal? I think not. believe it or not, there was a time when I missed meals. Fancy that. I have this, like, disease. I don't even know if it still exists or if anyone knows what it is. It's called celiac disease. And so when I was a little baby, I could only have, like, bananas and cottage cheese and, like, apples. No, I couldn't have apples. Like, just a very, like, literally, like, five things. And anything else, I'd be like, you know, just constantly sick. And I never really seemed to outgrow it, I don't think. I mean, I would be in my preschool or something, and I had to have, like, I couldn't have wheat or yeast or anything. And God knows I do now. But I had, it was some girl's birthday. I'll never forget this. And I had, like, big 70 frizzy ponytails. And I walked in with this, like cupcake that was, like, it's, like, this hard, you know, or this hard. And it was like, I couldn't put any chocolate frosting on it. I was like, happy birthday, dear. And it was just pathetic. And I had sinus problems as a result, and I'd get bloody noses with the thing. And then I just looked like Harry, and it was everyone was like, ah! Like, brown. But anyway, so I think that's why I'm still so controlling and weird about my food now, because I have to make sure that I eat now and, like, properly. And in my efforts to do that and to eat well, and to avoid all the things that cause me all these internal problems, I end up doing the exact opposite all the time, every day as we speak. Like, I tried to do the zone, you know, that whole, like, eliminate the carb thing. Who the fuck can do that? I ended up one night, I can't take it anymore! And I'm, like, opening up my cupboards that I had, like, you know, use a hair tie to, like, keep it closed up. Like, that's going to, like, I know how to get that. God, take it off! And I found, like, this box of Wassa crackers, and I ate the entire box. And I did shit for, like, 6 months, you know? And then I got this diet food delivered, and it's all very fancy little portions, but they're like this big, and I'd be like, oh, and I was like, okay, what now? And so then I drive to McDonald's, and then, like, the whole cycle begins with, like, the shame, and then not eating, and then the being depressed, and having some kind of digestion problems, and, but that's when I found Whole Foods. I mean, you guys have all been to Whole Foods. How much do we love that? Tom asked me to tell you two words, tofutti cuties. They're so yummy. Little tofu ice cream, in case you don't know. It's like an an ice cream sandwich bar. And it's awesome. So that's, the whole box sometimes can be a meal, I found. what else did I want to tell you? Let's see. Oh, so just last, I think this is kind of silly. So I'm trying to control my eating and do all the things that are good for me. Like, carry all this shit like I really even eat it. Obviously, it's been sitting there for a while. And my mom still does the controlling me through the eating thing, too. And now, to this day, she still does it. She was telling me, she's the only mother that doesn't really actually want me to get married. And it's, like, kind of bizarre. And she's like, well, honey, you should just have a big party. Just have a big party. You don't need to get married, just have a big party. And I'll make those sausage balls and the spinach dip and the three-layer blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who the fuck is going to have, like, spinach dip and seven-layer? Those are, like, Christmas foods. We're not going to have those at a wedding experience. And if we did have, like, a party instead of a wedding, my idea would be like sushi and cosmetinis with like 20 of my best gay guy friends. So, you know, we're not on the same page about that. Not really on the same page. I lied. I have one last thing to say. Can I say one last thing? Okay. Oh, by the way, speaking of what I would really eat and what I do eat, and this is really my... I have nothing to say except for sure. That's my opinion. I didn't draw any of these. I just thought I'd let you know that, too. You know, being single, I decided to I think internet dating just sounds so cheesy. It should be like internet experience. It should have some name to it so it doesn't sound so god-awful. But I found that when they said, where would you like to go eat, you know, for the first date, that I would say the same restaurant every single time. Not like I've had, you know, lots of dates with them, just, you know. So I would say Birds. You know that restaurant? It's on, again, that place is fabulous. But I noticed that I did this one really fucked up thing. I would arrive completely cranky and not eat. And I was like, hi, I'm Laura. Yeah, I'm from Maryland, D.C. I went to NYU. And I was just so, I realized I was like totally challenging this poor man who was like, oh my God, you know, if he can put up with me cranky and hungry, then, you know, we're a match made in heaven. So, and this was an interesting thing. They have an artichoke garlic dipping sauce. They have a bunch of them, but that's one of them. And I made sure that I would order like the half chicken white and sort of peel the skin off. And I was like, I don't look thin, so but I can eat thin. So I was like, I don't eat skin. Lemonwedge, huh? Oh, you're from where? Okay, whatever. So then I would eat the pieces of chicken and with just the lemon. And then I was like, this guy's a fucking dud. There ain't no way he's getting any fucking. Can I have the artichoke garlic sauce? Because I knew that then my breath would stink and it didn't matter. So, anyway, I think that, you know, after, like, a series of really crazy dates, you know, I arrived at the last date that I had cranky with no money because I couldn't get into my bank account for a strange reason that I thought my business manager had embezzled all my money. But, in fact, I had $1.08, something very small like that. Anyway, so I had to call this lovely date and say, all right, I haven't eaten, I'm running late, and you're going to have to pay for my valet. Are you still on? You know, how's it going to go? And you all right with that? And when I got there, he's like, okay. He's like, you need a cocktail and something to eat, okay. And then, like, once the food set in, we had a nice time, and there's something really disgusting crawling towards my food. Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm still scared. And then on that note, that's really it. That's all I wanted to say, but I have some leftover Halloween candy. So if you love me, you'll eat it. So touch your rules. Jeez! Oh, no.
What happens when you put food out?
I put the almonds out, Tom. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Amundsen Theater.
Oh, no. Oh, darn, I can't eat healthy again.
Just shuffle it. I'm going to have to give it a good cleaning.
That's good.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
This is what happens when I don't eat. I get really clumsy. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Darn. Okay. Yes.
What can you do?
Other than enjoy them. Very allergic to these. There you go.
Are you?
Yes. Just touching them.